This week, as a congregation, we've continued our church-wide Bible reading, and our daily readings this week have been on the theme of being thankful. And today I'd like to focus on one of those readings, which is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, and I'll begin reading at verse 4. Hear God's word through this letter from the Apostle Paul. Be glad in the Lord always. Again, I say, be glad. Let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all your requests to God and your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. From now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent and if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things. All that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise. Practice these things. Whatever you learned, received, heard, or saw in us, the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. God, you have definitely piled it on. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And we are so thankful. And we're thankful, Lord, for your Holy Scriptures and for the opportunity that you've given us today to gather in worship. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts and our minds be open to the inspiration of your Spirit so that these words on the page might connect with the words we need to hear from you today. We offer this time, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Once again this morning, you'll find in your bulletin some teaching notes, and we invite you to take those out and to follow along as we go through this message together, entitled Thankful in Tough Times. So, let me ask you, what's your favorite part of Thanksgiving? Is it getting together with family and friends? Is it the turkey and trimmings and your favorite pie, perhaps? Is it the long nap after a big meal? Or maybe it's a nice walk out in the autumn air. Or is it the parades and the football games? Maybe your favorite part of Thanksgiving is shopping on Black Friday. Did anybody do that? Or maybe it's just having some quiet days at home. Well, whatever your favorite thing about Thanksgiving is, as we were singing a few minutes ago, there's no place I'd rather be than here with you today. I'm glad that as part of your weekend, you've come to church. Because even on a holiday set aside for giving thanks, we can get so caught up in all of the activities that we forget. We forget that it's God who made us. And that every good gift we have is from God. God is the author of beauty all around us. He gave us the friendships that we make, the families that we build, all those gifts that we discover from day to day. And today, as we worship, we're invited to lift our eyes up and to see God's blessings and be thankful. Thankful. You know, I have found, and perhaps you have too, that it's easy to be thankful when things are going well. when your health is good, when the bills are paid, when the job is going well, when everyone's getting along at home, it's easy to be thankful then. But as it says in number one in your notes, when trials and troubles come, we can lose sight of God's blessings. Some of you might be finding it hard to be thankful this year at Thanksgiving. Some of you are going through some tough times. Perhaps there was an empty seat at your Thanksgiving table this year where a loved one used to sit, and it was tough getting through the dinner. Some of you are facing some serious health issues or trying to care for a loved one who is. Some of you are going through some struggles in your workplace or in your home life or in your finances. It's easy to be thankful when things are good, but when trials and troubles come, we can quickly lose sight of all that God has given us. Well, here in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul invites us to be thankful all the time in every circumstance. And this is really strange, because when Paul wrote these words, do you know where he was? He was in chains in a Roman prison. He has scars and bruises from his enemies. He's suffering greatly for preaching the good news of peace and forgiveness in Jesus. When Paul writes this, he has every reason to lose sight of God's blessings, every reason to be angry and negative about his situation. And yet, throughout this entire letter, Paul's got the joy, 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 joy down in his heart. His heart is filled to overflowing with thankfulness. And here in these few verses that we're looking at this morning, Paul shows you and me how we can cultivate an attitude of thankfulness, whatever our circumstances might be. According to Paul, we cultivate that attitude of thankfulness by changing the way we think about our circumstances and by changing the things we do in the midst of our circumstances. First of all, as it says in number two, we cultivate an attitude of thankfulness by changing our perspective, changing the way we think about our circumstances. There's a quote in your notes by author and pastor Robert McAfee Brown, who reminds us of how important it is having perspective. He wrote, "Who we listen to determines what we hear. Where we stand determines what we see, and what we do determines who we are." Who we listen to, where we stand, and what we do determines what we hear, what we see, and who we are. Now, Paul is telling us much the same thing here in this wonderful verse that begins our passage, Philippians 4:4. And I'd like if, with enthusiasm, we could read that verse together. Are you ready? "Be glad in the Lord always. Again, I say, be glad." Now, when Paul says, "Be glad in the Lord always," he's not suggesting that we should be happy when tough times come. He's not suggesting that we should be glad when our circumstances are not so good. Paul certainly was not to be in prison, in chains, having suffered so much. But notice the three words that are underlined. Be glad in the Lord. In other words, he's inviting us to stand in a different place, to listen to a different voice, to do something different in the midst of our circumstances. For as we do, he will tell us, it changes us. It changes how we think about the circumstances that we're in. First of all, when we are glad in the Lord always, we discover that God is near us. God is near us. Look at verse 5 again. Let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. The Lord is near. Now, Paul doesn't say the Lord will be near you if you are gentle to all people. He says the Lord is near. It's a statement of fact. God is always near. The Lord is near whenever we come into church. The Lord is near wherever you go. Whether it's in your home, your office, your school, your coffee shop, the Lord is near. And the Lord is near even in those places where you might not expect the Lord to be near. The Lord is near in the good times. Near in the tough times. God is never far away from any one of us, no matter what our circumstances may be. Next Sunday here, we're going to begin the season of Advent. And on 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas, we will light candles. And as we do, we will celebrate that the Lord is near. Emmanuel, God is with us. The Creator of the world and all that is in it chose to enter this world as the helpless baby born in the stable. The Lord is near. Paul also says that when we look at things from this perspective, we discover that God hears us. God hears us. Verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. One of the greatest ways that you can show love to another person is by listening. When someone really listens to you, they're listening with their hearts as well as their ears. They are fully present with you. They look you in the eyes. They ask you questions to make sure they understand what you are really saying. They don't offer you quick advice. They're not in a hurry to finish the conversation so they can move on. Because listening, really listening, involves being there. It's a wonderful gift. Just having someone who listens. Even if they don't say much, it can be so helpful to have someone who hears you. It can give you a new perspective on your circumstances. So Paul says, God listens. God is the great listener with a capital L. The great God of the universe is concerned about every individual in all of our circumstances. The big things, the little things, the everyday things, nothing too great, nothing too small, that we can't bring it to God, the great listener who hears us. So Paul helps change our perspective by reminding us that God is near, and also by reminding us that God hears us. And then he says also that God guards us. Look at verse 7. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul does not say that God will always guard us from having tough times in life. I mean, even as he writes this, Paul is going through an unimaginably tough time. We all experience trials and troubles. And yet he's reminding us that when we
go through our troubles with Jesus, we can know peace. Peace that we just can't find enough words to describe. Peace that passes all understanding. One of the great privileges for us as pastors is having the opportunity to walk with people through some of their most joyful times in life and some of their most difficult times in life. And I know it's true for you, Pastor John, as it is for me. I have been so blessed to be with people who, in the face of tough times, have such grateful hearts. Even in the midst of tough times, they're thankful because they know that God is near. And they know that God hears them. And they have found that peace that is available to all of us in Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that we cultivate an attitude of thankfulness when we change the way we think about our circumstances. God is near. God hears us. God guards our hearts and minds with peace. We look at our circumstances differently. And then Paul tells us, number three in your notes, we cultivate an attitude of thankfulness by changing our behavior. There are three things that Paul calls us to do in the midst of our circumstances that help us to cultivate an attitude of thankfulness. And the first and probably most important thing he calls us to do is to pray. To pray. Look back at verse 6 again. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all of your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. So what he's saying is that if God is near, and God listens, and the peace of God is guarding us, there's nothing we should be anxious about. I mean, according to Paul, and you can answer this question, what is it that we should be anxious about? Thank you. You can answer. Here we go. According to Paul, if God is with us, what should we be anxious about?
Nothing.
And what should we pray about?
Everything.
Is there anything too great to bring to God in prayer?
No.
Is there anything too small that we shouldn't pray about?
No.
We cultivate an attitude of thankfulness on our knees. Prayer. And Paul not only calls us to be a people who bring all of our requests to God in prayer, he also calls us to be a people who focus our thoughts in a particular direction. Look at verses 8 and 9. From now on, in other words, beginning today, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent, and if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things. All that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise. In other words, whatever is excellent, admirable of God, if we focus on changes our perspective. It changes the way we look at our circumstances. Repeatedly in the Old Testament, the older generation of Israelites was instructed to pass on the stories of God's faithfulness to their children. And they were called to help their children memorize these stories. They used repetitions, such as Pastor John and I did at the beginning of the service
We didn't make that up. We were reading it out of the Bible, right? The constant repetition of that phrase that God's faithful love lasts forever. So if you repeat that dozens of times while you're reading the scripture, you remember the faithful love of God that lasts forever. If we bring everything to God in prayer, and if in our lives we focus on God's eternal faithful love, we cultivate an attitude of thankfulness. And then Paul invites us also to practice. Practice these things, he says. Whatever you learned, received, heard, or saw in us, practice it. What Paul is really saying here is, look at my life and follow me just as I follow Jesus. Now I have to tell you that as I look at those words, I feel challenged as a pastor. They make me think about my practice, about what others learn and receive and hear and see from being around me from day to day. But Paul's words here are not just for pastors. They are for every disciple of Jesus. We all need to practice being an example of Christ for the people around us. Living in this world, what's your practice look like? Are you practicing thankfulness in your life in such a way that it helps others to see that God is near, that God hears, that God guards? John Wesley loved to say, the best of all is, God is with us. And he made it a practice to use those words frequently in his ministry from day to day. He would say those words to people who were facing tough times. The best of all is, God is with us. He would say those words to people who were being sent out into the mission field, the circuit riding preachers going off to remote places to proclaim the gospel under difficult circumstances. Remember, the best of all is, God is with us. The best of all is, God is with us. Or as the Apostle Paul says at the end of our scripture today, the God of peace will be with you. There are so many people whose lives have been a blessing to us because they cultivated an attitude of thankfulness even though they faced great obstacles. One that has inspired me since childhood, really, was Helen Keller. Now, Helen Keller and I, as far as I know, are not related. Although maybe the DNA would make some connection, I don't know. But Helen Keller was born in 1880 in a small town in Alabama. And when she came into the world, she was healthy. She was surrounded by a loving family. But then at 18 months old, she contracted a serious illness, and it left her totally blind and deaf. And for the next 6 years, Helen, unable to communicate, lived in a world that was dark and silent. But her mother was determined to get her help so that she could enjoy a fruitful life. And she was able, when Helen was 7, to enroll her in a school in Boston. And it was there that she met the woman who would become her companion, guide, and life, Anne Sullivan, who dedicated the rest of her life to teach Helen how to communicate in this world. And thanks to the patience and dedication of Anne Sullivan,
Helen Keller surpassed her own limitations. She kept on studying until she graduated from college, and she was the very first deaf and blind person ever to graduate from college. And with Anne by her side, continuing into adulthood, Helen Keller traveled the country and in the world, and was such a great encouragement to people to persevere in the face of great obstacles. Now, something I learned about Helen Keller that I found especially interesting is what a woman of faith she was, and how wherever she went, Helen Keller would witness to the faithfulness of God. Her attitude of thankfulness inspired everybody that knew her. One of my favorite Helen Keller quotes is the one that's printed there in your notes. "The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart." Friends, you might be going through some tough times right now. But the good news from the Apostle Paul is that even in tough times, we can cultivate an attitude of thankfulness. We can be glad in the Lord always. It's a matter of changing our perspective, of seeing that God is near, that God hears us, God guards our hearts and minds. And it's a matter of changing our faith by incorporating into our lives things like prayer, things like practicing following Jesus from day to day. Things like focusing on that which is good ahead of God. Oh, that we could take everything to God in prayer. Oh, that we could focus always and everywhere on the faithful love of God. Oh, that we could follow the example of Jesus and live in such a way that even in tough times, others would hear from our life the best of all: God is with us.